Dr. Howard.
Present.
Mr. Lloyd.
Here. Present.
Mr. Dye.
Yes.
Mr. Freckleton.
Here.
Ms. Quietek. And Mr. Labai.
Here.
Any public participation today?
No requests.
Great, thank you. With that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that somebody would like to pull? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Information only items. Get the agreements and the surplus donations.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on those? Great. With that, Dr. Lovasso, we will turn it over to you. Great.
Thank you. And thank you again for a great retreat. It was some great discussion and exciting things on the horizon for Daytona State College. So without some updates, covered some of it, but at the retreat. But we did host the, as we have the last several years, the annual Team Volusia dinner, which was a success. We had our collaboration council meeting with the Flagler County School District a few weeks back, talking about even, you know, additional opportunities with dual enrollment. We had a successful audit exit conference, and Dr. Howard was there for that a few weeks back. And for those of you that watch Channel 15, want to tune in on the 18th of April. I was a special guest on Costa's cooking show and cooked up one of my own homemade recipes. So it'll air on April 18th.
I thought you were the guest eater.
No. I was the. He kept saying, "I want to call him chef," but it's President Lovasso. But so we had a good time. If you've ever watched his cooking shows, we've been talking about it for a while. So I was able to whip up a home recipe for him on the show. So that was good. We had our annual Direct Connect meeting with UCF, had lunch with the Florida Secretary of Commerce, Alex Kelly, back on the 27th, and had a good conversation about, you know, all the things we're doing with all the different grants we had for workforce. And, so he's been really pleased at the things we're doing here at Daytona State and looking forward to other opportunities with us. I attended the VIP grant opening for Daytona Beach Regional Chamber of Commerce, and they did a fantastic job on that, the building. I mean, what a transformation. If you haven't been there, you should stop by. And Daytona State is represented in the building with a little sponsorship there. We had a successful Lemron speaker series with two local business folks, Bill Navarra and Buzzy Porter. Were our speakers. They did a really good job, and a little different format. We did a more of like a panel discussion, and I think that worked out pretty well. And then we did have our student awards convocation where we recognized a lot of students, but in addition, we also recognized faculty and staff for their outstanding work here at the college. But the focus on the student awards convocation, I think it was 120-odd-some students got awards for different academic achievements. So it's that time of the year, event after event, but all good things. So I'll conclude my report there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Marty, finance?
All right. Good afternoon. Everyone hear me okay? Coming off a slight cold, so pardon my raspy voice. No longer contagious. I've been dealing with it for, I think, since last Sunday. before I jump into the financial report, I'll just bounce off something that Dr. Lovasso mentioned regarding our financial audit. He glazed over it pretty quick, but it was not only a good exit conference, but a overall, very well, you know, just a good financial audit. We had, you know, no findings, no reportable conditions, just a modified opinion, which is the best opinion you can get. So I normally report to the board the AFR before the unaudited financial statements in our report before it gets audited. So it's good to come back and just let you know that we, you know, things went great during the audit and we, you know, I can't tell you how many years running we're on a good track record, though, of no findings and clean audits on the financial side. Speaking of audits, it seems like it never ends with auditors on our campus. We currently have also the AG's office is on site currently doing an operational audit. That'll go for the next couple of months, and that's where they really dig into all areas for and it's an audit they do once every 3 years they're required to do. So our time was up, and they're on site doing that now. And while I'm on the audit topic, down in my office now in our conference room, we have the auditors, our independent auditors from James Moore, set up doing our foundation audit and then doing some preliminary testing on our housing corporation. So 'tis the season. But all things are going well so far. Just wanted to highlight the audits. So getting into my financial report through March 31st, 2024, you'll see in your packet, we changed the date. It's technically, we cut it off. It's a March 27th is really what the numbers run through. Due to the early board meeting, we had to pick a cutoff point down there in finance so that my team could get together the report. So just keep that in mind. We're a few days off from what the last year's numbers was, the full month of March. This year, we had the March 27th was the last day. All right, so looking here, this is our operating revenue budget versus actual. We've now collected, you know, through three-quarters of the way of our fiscal year, we've collected $23 million, or 81% of our student tuition and fee revenue, collected $44.7 million, or 69% of our state revenues, $4.7 million, or 80% of our other revenue sources, and $2.4 million of our board-approved transfers. So through March 27th, we've now collected $74.8 million, or 74% of our overall budget. Okay, looking at our expenditures, we've now expended $49.5 million, or 66% of our personnel budget. So as you can see, we're a little underspent there, not uncommon. That's where we have vacant positions, some laps, and again, it's about where we land. We've obligated $17.4 million, or 73% of our current expense budget. Of that amount, $14.1 million is expended, and $3.3 million is still open encumbrances tied to open purchase orders. We've obligated $1.5 million of our capital outlay budget. That's 50%. Of that amount, $1.3 million has been expended, and just $172 remaining on open POs. So in total, we've now obligated $68.4 million, or 67% of our overall $101 million budget. And if you peel back the encumbrances, we've expended $65 million, right at 64% of the budget. So again, three-fourths of the way through the year, expenditures are in a good state right now. We cut off our purchase orders sometime in May, so it really slows down the spending here coming this last quarter. So we expect to wrap up the year in a good position there. This slide you'll recognize, it's our carry forward funds in our operating fund. We started the year with $18.2 million roughly. Of that, $5.5 million is our 5% state required reserve. $1.6 million is our board designated reserve. $10.2 million unallocated reserve. And then we rolled over encumbrances and other designations to the tune of $814,000. And through March, our net projected fund balance in our operating fund would be the $18.3 million, just under 20%, 19.66%. Okay, taking a look at our budget versus actual year over year, this gives you a good picture of just how consistent we are from a revenue collection standpoint. We collected 74% of our overall budget this current year versus 74% of last year's budget at the same point in time in March. So very, very consistent. Okay, taking a look at our three-year analysis of student tuition and fee revenue, you can see we're just shy of $23 million through the March 27th date for the current fiscal year. The two prior years are a full through March 31st of those respective years. So you can see we're up even with the losing those days. If you do the math there of overall, it's about 2%. But like I said, we're missing a few days in the current year, and then timing of summer registration and so forth. So we're trending a little bit better. I know spring is closer to 5% in fee paying FTE that we're up, and I think fall landed just above 2%. So the two blended gets us probably closer to what we budgeted as 4% up. So I think we'll land at the end of the year pretty close to our budget number, maybe just a little shy. Okay, this is a similar comparison of the revenue, but on the expense side, year over year comparison. So on our personnel budget, we expended 66% of our personnel expenses through March. And last year at the same time, it was 67%. 73% of our current, we've obligated of our current expenses, 80% at the same time last year. And we've obligated 50% of our capital outlay budget this year. Last year was at 62%. Okay, shifting over from our operating fund over to our Fund 7 capital fund. This again shows all funding sources in our Fund 7. And the next slide kind of summarizes that a little bit easier on the eyes. So your beginning fund balance to start the year was $62.4 million roughly. We've brought in $9.1 million. We've obligated $22.2 million so far this year. Of that, $20.4 million has actually been expended, and $1.7 million still encumbered. So that brings us down to about $49.3 million through March remaining fund balance. And of that amount, we've got just under $25 million committed to projects. And then $24.4 million roughly uncommitted and available for new projects. Here's the list of major projects, that hit our $250,000 threshold. I believe all 12 were on our report last time around, so I won't highlight any in particular. We should hopefully see maybe one or two come off here and as completed. Namely, the Weatherall Center, this building, the roof replacement, it's essentially complete. We're working through the final billing, so that sometimes it stays on the list a little longer until we get the final purchase order and invoices paid out. And then I believe there was one other, DeLand AHU replacement, the one right under it. I think that is soon to wrap up, too, and it's just a matter of getting the billing finalized. So, soon we'll have a couple more to add to our completed projects list, which is here, and it's still, for now, the land parking lot lighting replacement that was finished back in September. So that concludes the financial report.
Any questions? Thanks, Marty.
And my next item, as usual, we got a couple months' worth of payments over $50,000. And so February and March, this is an informational board item. Nothing unusual noted on either of these lists. This is just our ordinary business and happened to meet the threshold. All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, board members. Just three items today for the facility side. First item, attachment 13, shown above, is a previously approved project. Charles Perry Partners was selected by the Board of Trustees to provide CM at Risk services for the DeLand Campus Indoor Firing Range project. Subcontractor bids GMP construction phase has been received and addressed by CPPI. Facilities plan and staff have reviewed and negotiated fees for this project. For this portion of the work, CPPI has offered a GMP of $11,024,891. The state has appropriated to the college $6,160,618 in fiscal year 2022-23. So the revised total budget based on the GMP is $12,402,087. The plan for the college is to utilize Fund 7 reserves to fund the remaining balance of $6,241,469. It is recommended that the Board of Trustees approve the GMP for construction phase in the amount of $11,024,891 for the Land Campus Indoor Firing Range Project, utilizing Fund 7 board designated reserves to fund the $6,241,469 for the total project anticipated cost.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Attachment 14 is a new project. Daytona State Campus Schildecker Science Building 410 roof is original to the building from 2000, and as it's past its life expectancy, will need to be replaced or modified to bring it up to new roofing standards as set forth by the Florida Building Code. All caulking will need to be removed and replaced, all vertical expansion joints in the entire building, and all window exterior windows sealed. This will prevent any more water intrusion into the building. Analysis received by a cooperative competitive bid proposed from Waterproofing Technologies, who is an Omnia partner of ours, to complete this work in the amount of $797,592.14. It is recommended that the board approve this section of Waterproofing Technologies for Daytona State Campus Schildecker Science Hall Roof Restoration and Building Envelope Repairs Project in the amount of $797,592.14, utilizing Fund 7 board designated reserves.
So moved.
Second.
Question? Randy?
You said the competitive bid process. How many bids were there?
We utilized a competitive bid process. So the bids are pre-solicited through that process, and the pricing is fixed. So that process takes us 3 months out of the bidding process. So in reality, there's several bids that come into that competitive bidding process, but the one that we selected was this one.
So they had a price in there, like per square foot,
yes,
or something, and
that's
then
correct.
We give them a project.
It's by component, even. It goes down to that component level.
Fair.
Any other questions? All those in favor?
All right. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, last one, attachment 15. It has been determined after doing a complete survey of the roof for the Werthal Center, Building 100, that the third and fourth floor balconies will need to have the pavers removed along with the roof under the pavers, a new membrane system installed to prevent additional water damages to the floors below. Once complete, the pavers will need to be cleaned, reinstalled, on the north side. Additional flashing will also need to be completed around the columns, walls, and rails at the edge of the building on all floors. College has received federal critical deferred maintenance dollars that will allow us to replace these sections of roof. So this is part of the DM projects that we've continued to work on this building. Again, we've received a competitive cooperative bid proposal from Waterproofing Technologies to complete this work in an amount of $524,797.25. It is recommended that the Board of Trustees approve the selection of WTI for the Werthal Center Building 100 Roof Project Phase 2 in the amount of $542,797.25.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All three. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We have a few items under academic affairs for your approval. The first item is the general education core curriculum. Several different changes took place this year, some from the state and some from our own internal process review, which we do every 3 years. So I'll just run through the outcomes of those changes. The first, from a state level change, is the adoption of a new mathematics pathway. This math course, the state's introduced a new one called Mathematical Thinking. It will replace our MGF 2106, liberal arts math 1. So the first change is a swap out of those two courses in the core. The second one is a natural science option. The state has added introduction to oceanography as a core course option. We will offer that course, so we have added it to our core course options as well. The state has removed Sociology 2000 introduction to sociology from the core course options, and so to be in compliance, we will remove that one as well. It will still be an option in general ed, it just won't be in the core. In addition to those changes, our own General Education Committee meets on a regular basis and every 3 years proposes changes, if needed, to our general education core and non-core options. The changes recommended this year are, first of all, to remove two courses from the non-core list, which is History of Western Civilization and World History before 1500. Additionally, the group recommended to add Introduction to Marine Biology and PSC 1121 Physical Science and SWS 2007, The World of Water. These are courses that count in our environmental science program. So it is suggested that they be added to the non-core general education options. And lastly, Sociology, Introduction to Oceanography, and Philosophy, Introduction to Ethics were designated as meeting our cultural global graduation requirement, which is simply that students in the AA program take at least 3 credits of a course designated with that global cultural mark. And some of those are electives, some are in the core, some are in the non-core gen ed. I know that's a lot of lingo, but there's a new statute that requires that you all approve our general education curriculum, which we do bring to you anytime we make a change. This entire core will be submitted to the Articulation Coordinating Committee and then to the State Board of Education, which must approve it by the end of the year for us to offer it. So this is our first step in that and bringing it to you for approval. Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. I do have 5 more options. I can go through them each, and you could vote together if you would want to.
Sure, that's great. Why don't we take questions at the end of each one, just in case somebody has a question, and
okay,
we'll do the vote at the end.
Okay. The first change is a change to an addition of a concentration inside the Bachelor of Science in Engineering Technology. This is a proposal from the department to meet the needs of industrial engineering in our area. This aligns very well with advanced manufacturing. So the students would take a series of courses. There's 3 new courses being proposed combined with some existing courses. Together, this would create a concentration inside the BSET. Students could get it along with the bachelor's degree, and it would be reflected on their transcript as a concentration. Any questions? That one? Okay, the next one is a curriculum revision to the Network Systems Technology Program, changing the title of the program. This is an AS degree, changing the title to Cybersecurity and Networking Technology. We have 2 courses added and 2 courses removed. This is fairly routine. It's to update the curriculum to reflect the latest in technology and best practices. Questions there. Okay. The next item is approval of curriculum changes in the paralegal AS degree. Same thing. This is adding 2 new courses and removing 2. I'm sorry. 2 new courses, 2 deletions, 2 additions, and 2 courses moved from program required to program electives. So again, updating the curriculum on the advice of the advisory board for the program and the faculty. Then we have changes to the environmental science technology program. This one is, so we had a course called Physics 1020, Energy in the Environment. We needed to update it for the state course numbering system and course description to conceptual physics. So we did that. So it's updating the content of physics 1020 to conceptual physics. However, our environmental science program still needed the environmental science physics, and so that content has been put under a new course number, which is PHY 1032. So we're keeping that old, the old previous curriculum that we had under a new number and updating to align with the state description for conceptual physics. Okay, and lastly, we have the approval of two new courses. One is in the School of Education. It's a test prep course that students could take to help them with the licensure examination, which is a big hurdle. And then the next one is an Introduction to Speech course, SPH 1017. This could be used in AS degrees that do not require such a research-heavy speech course. Students are scared of public speaking a lot of times, and so they put it off, unfortunately. But there are a number of programs where public speaking is very valuable. The Digital and Interactive Media program, for example, really wants students to get some practice in presenting, but it doesn't really need to be the research-heavy speech that we currently offer. What we'd like to do is launch this course and then look into whether this would be a suitable course for the AA degree as well. It's not a state requirement. It's a Daytona State requirement that we require speech. But do we need it to be the research-heavy speech that we currently have, or could we go with one that is not quite as intense?
Yeah, a quick question on this one. On the test prep one, it says it's the second course in a two-part sequence. Is the first part also test prep, or is it? And it, did it change, or are we adding a second?
I think it is building on one that we already have that is not just test prep. But I'm not absolutely sure of that. Let me check on that for you, please.
Any other questions?
Move approval.
Second.
Question? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's now my pleasure to introduce our NISOD Excellence Award nominees. Every year, we take a moment in the spring to recognize a group of employees who have really gone above and beyond everything that we ask of them to do. The National Institute for Staff and Organizational Development is an international organization that's been in existence for many years. It is disseminates research on teaching and learning, all aspects of higher education. It specializes in community colleges, not just in the United States, but around the world. And they hold one big, wonderful conference in Austin, Texas, every year, where nominees from individual colleges are recognized at a special dinner for the Excellence Award. And so I would like to introduce you to the folks that we have nominated. They've been nominated by their colleagues and their supervisors, including vice presidents, and approved by the senior executive staff and the president for this award. They are standard examples of the standard of excellence that we want to see at Daytona State, and we are thrilled to recognize them today. So as I call your name, they're sitting right up here. As I call your name, if you would just move up to the front so we can see you, and then we'll recognize you all together there at the end, and maybe Lynn could get a picture with Dr. Labasso, the whole group. Our first member that I'm going to recognize is actually not here today. She had a medical appointment she had to go to. Cindy Bunton is the administrative assistant in the TRIO program. She actually serves two TRIO programs, Talent Search and SSS. And Cindy demonstrates an amazing ability to organize both programs. She is the lone administrative assistant for them both. And she's also the face of these programs. So it's often the first person people meet when they come to join one of these programs. And sometimes they're really nervous and they're not sure what they're getting into. And Cindy, it exemplifies that Daytona State, you belong here, motto and spirit by making them feel like they landed in just the right place. So we are thrilled to recognize Cindy. Next, Rachel Dalton, systems analyst in our information technology department. Come on up, Rachel. Rachel joined us from Volusia County Schools in 2010 as a programmer. She has been promoted several times to Programmer 2, then Systems Analyst, and now Systems Analyst 2. She is currently the technical lead on our customer relationship management system implementation, which is an enormous project that she is helping to lead. Also, new integration API adoption and overseeing our Appsian system. And as her supervisor notes, she likes to get deep into the PeopleSoft module and the PeopleSoft tools upgrade to keep from being bored. And we thank you for that, Rachel, because we need you doing that. Whenever there is a need to research new technology, which is about daily, these days Rachel is one of the first to lead the charge. Her dedication, expertise, and leadership are very much appreciated. Congratulations, Rachel. Next, let me invite up Evan Doyle. Evan has been with the college since 2020 and has quickly risen through the ranks from the role of coordinator for the FDLE Advanced and Specialized Training Unit to the program manager for the Law Enforcement and Corrections Program, and now as the director of the Charles M. Curb School of Emergency Services since 2022. During his time, Evan has led efforts to modernize the curriculum in the program. He's added simulation. He's modified the uniform the students wear to include the gun belt and body cams because they learn how to wear them in practice so that when they get in the field, it is more familiar. And he has expanded options and added cohorts and students to this program. Recently, Evan created a partnership with Police Chief Jakari Young with the Daytona Beach Police Department to offer specialized cohort training just for incoming Daytona Beach police officers. It is now starting its fourth cohort in the next few weeks. He received special recognition back last year from Daytona Beach Police Department at their awards banquet. Thank you, Evan, for all you have done for our program. Next, we have Anaris Inman. Anaris is the Director 2 for the New Smyrna Beach Edgewater campus, but he's also the college's student advocate. And so if you can imagine that anytime a student has an issue and has a question, they get sent to one individual who's the student advocate. Thank you, Anaris. Anaris is like one of the most calm, chill people you'll ever met, and he really needs to be in that role. He became campus director as well in January of 2023. His colleagues describe him as very calm in stressful situations, a person who thinks about the big picture. He is dedicated to students and believes in a culture of continuous improvement. He is very involved in his community, in our community. I have myself watched Anaris moderate panels and lead meetings. He's excellent at it. And if that weren't enough, he is currently working on his doctorate at FAU. So congratulations, Anaris, and thank you very much for all you do. Next, let's bring up Michelle McElfresh. Okay, I know. I may have to move over here. Michelle joined the DSC team as an administrative specialist in 1999, and she has worked her way up to being the coordinator, too, for the Institute for EMS Education. Now, this is a continuing ed office, but it touches hundreds and really thousands of people in our community that work as first responders and related fields. They have to get a lot of continuing education to keep up their licensure, and we provide a great deal of that. Under her leadership, Michelle has expanded our service delivery area and training offerings, and we are now one of the top five training centers in Northern Florida, receiving a flawless site review and continuing contract. She works with a large community of first responders and our own students and our own employees. For example, she does the Narcan training for our RAs in the student housing and for our campus safety. She assists campus safety with the purchase and maintenance of all the AEDs that you see on campus. She serves on Evans School of Emergency Services Advisory Board. She manages 370-plus adjunct instructors and support personnel that train our first responders in a wide variety of things needed for their licensure. Her colleagues comment on her initiative and note she is always, quote, out in front of a challenge and ever ready to pivot and adapt. Congratulations and thank you, Michelle. Next, Dr. Ali Mehrabian. Dr. Mehrabian is a professor, senior professor and assistant chair in the Angela and D.S. Patel School of Engineering Technology. He is an exceptional professor who has demonstrated his ability to manage a heavy workload of challenging engineering courses and through the innovative use of technology. He develops course materials that are both comprehensive and engaging. He keeps his curriculum fresh and up to date. In addition to his commitment in advising and guiding BSET students, he works through individual advising plans to help them map their path to the future beyond the bachelor's degree. He recently completed the AQ certification, which is quite challenging and time-consuming, but that makes him an even better professor than he was before. And with all of that, he still finds time to manage and support the Engineering Student Club. He is actively engaged in connecting students to employment opportunities for both current students and our graduates. He serves as a faculty advisor and consultant to students in the senior design courses. As I mentioned, he is also the assistant chair of this very active department. His dedication to the student and department is evident in all that he does, and we are grateful to have him in this outstanding program. Thank you, Ali. Aaron Scott. Aaron has been with Daytona State for 15 years, where she has made invaluable contributions to the Academic Support Center and to the college at large. Based at the New Smyrna Beach campus, she shines as an effective leader known for her empathy. And this is empathy in particular with students in computer science, engineering, biological, physical science, and mathematics. And sometimes they need a little extra empathy, don't they, Erin? Yes, but that's the group of students she specializes in and the group that she, the tutors and learning specialists that she leads. Erin is a self-described lover of spreadsheets. Her superb data collection and dissemination skills are vital to the continued improvement of the ASC. You may or may not know the ASC produces some amazing reports on what they do and who they serve. They have presented at conferences on their effectiveness. They are a true asset to the college and really help our students get graduated, and Erin is a very key part of that. She had a pivotal role in launching the ASC's live chat feature. We started that during COVID where students could get instant help, but now they can use the live chat feature at any time. So helping us, some of us oldies that are not even knowing what's out there, helping us move into the technology that helps our students the most. As her supervisors say, day in and day out, Erin's dedication to Daytona State and its students is evident to all who have the pleasure of collaborating with her. Thank you, Erin. And last but not least, Rich Villaro. Rich is a senior professor and chair of the School of Communication. This is where the English happens. And it being a pivotal first step for students in the AA and really in any AS program and the bachelor's degrees, it is very key that we get that right. And Rich has improved success rates in these courses significantly over time in his role as chair. He does a tremendous amount of professional development personally, mentoring and training faculty, and in new faculty and some of the ones that have been around a long time. I refer to Rich as an opinion leader. I trust him and lean on him, Tom does too, to bounce ideas off of and to talk about these ideas in meaningful ways with the faculty. He has is serving on our VP of Academic Affairs Search Committee. He has served as interim AVP for the School of Arts and Sciences, the College of Arts and Sciences. He is helping to lead the effort to address AI and how it is going to work in not only writing classes, but classes all across the curriculum. He was selected to co-lead the AI Governance Council Committee on Academics. And I could go on and on. Thank you, Rich, for everything you do for the college. Dr. Labasa, these are our NICE side winners. Congratulations to each of you, and thank you.
Well, you're giving me the hard job.
Heads.
Okay. All right, we'll kick off with our SGA president, Gael Vidalin.
There we go. Good afternoon. There we go. So I would like to start off with the SCS-SGA conference. This year, SGA had the opportunity to go to the February conference that was hosted on College of Central Florida in the Ocala campus. SGA attended many sessions during these 2 days. We stayed and learned about leadership, transition of leadership, ethical leadership, effective communications, and so much more. We also had a safe spring break. It was hosted on four of our campuses, Deltona, Daytona, D-Land and New Smyrna Edgewater campus. We provided students with the safety precautions they should take during spring break. We also provided students with light refreshments and swag items. Here's a few pictures of them at the safe spring break event. PTK Asian Pacific Islanders event was hosted to celebrate the achievements and the contributions of the Asian American Pacific Islanders. We also had clubs present Asian Pacific Islander facts and history. We also had the Women's History Discussion. It was hosted March 27th in the Student Center to celebrate women. The panelist was Lakeisha Holmes as our moderator, Megan, Cheryl Weems, Michelle Godes, Margie Harston as our panelist. And then we had a Kahoot Games for the student to play at the end, and we had a charcuterie board themed refreshment platter. We also attended the Falcon Hope Women's Luncheon as well. SGA had the opportunity to sponsor a table this year. It gave the SGA members opportunity to network with community partners, and it also we were touched by the touched and inspired by the stories that we heard from our fellow students as well. SGA Club Banquet was a huge success. We had over 100 club members in attendance. Club presidents and advisors selected peers in their clubs that related most to each category for awards. I was excited to host this event with my fellow SGA officers. This was our last major event as a group together before we graduate. Mets also catered an amazing dinner for us, and everyone enjoyed it. Big thank you to Student Life for helping us coordinate this event as well. And here's a few pictures from them.
Thank you.
And Anaris Inman for the Admin Council.
All right, and he's back again. For a very brief and quick update on the Administrators Council, we actually had our monthly meeting on yesterday in which we reviewed our bylaws. This is something that is outlined in the bylaws for us to review every year. We made a few minor adjustments just for clarity. And so in our next meeting, we are looking forward to being able to present a year in review on all of our efforts and possibly quantifying them and presenting it to the President's Cabinet at that opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you. And John Penny for Career Association.
We will be having a meeting later this month. We also need to be working on our bylaws, looking to change the frequency of our meetings. It was originally once a month. We went to once a quarter and found out that's not enough, so we're trying to find a balance in between. Just drew a blank on that. That's about all I have for now, then.
Thank you. And for Faculty Senate, Paul Capps. Sorry, John, I have those moments too often anymore.
Good afternoon. This month's Faculty Senate meeting, we had a presentation from the co-chairs of the the academic side of the Governance Council, AI Governance Council, Dr. Shaul Cohen and NYSARD Award winner Rich Valero. They brought a proposal they're going to make to the senior staff with regards to adding some a section regarding AI language to our simple syllabus. And just to kind of keep us informed, we did pass a motion unanimously supporting that. So administration will do that with that what they will. They also, at their urging, we've reactivated an academic integrity committee of the Faculty Senate. Now, this committee doesn't have anything to do with actual student cases, judicial affairs. That's not our area, right? That's student life. Excuse Dr. Ramos's area. But, they will promote conversation on best practices for academic integrity amongst the faculty, and if they so choose, maybe make recommendations that I would then bring to the Vice President of Academic Affairs in the future. We'll see. Finally, we also are looking at our bylaws. We will be have a referendum vote amongst the faculty, but that won't be until next fall. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Paul. That concludes. Oh, that doesn't conclude. Almost forgot about. How can I forget about Gina? Gina Clark. My apologies.
That's okay. I don't really have a whole lot to share, but as always, thank you, Board, for having me here. With the Professional Council, we have not had a meeting in March because of the spring break and then new semester. We've been busy, but our next meeting will be next Thursday. After hearing about the people reviewing bylaws, I decided that maybe I should take a look at ours. They haven't been updated since 2016. So I think that's going to be on the agenda for our next one. Currently, we just started our spring basket raffle, our last fundraiser for this school year. So we're hoping that you guys will join us in participating and helping. We haven't done too many fundraisers. We've done a lot of activities to support other things. So this was a fundraiser that we are hoping to be able to provide some kind of scholarship for, and we're working with Chris and the foundation to identify what we could do with that. But other than that, that's all I have. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
That concludes the constituent heads report.
Great. Thank you. I start out just one quick piece of business. The president participates in a deferred compensation plan, which was created in 2000 and last amended and restated in 2011. After consulting with external counsel and thinking about things that have changed over the years, I would like to entertain that we, in essence, change that plan to a 457F deferred compensation plan, pay out the prior balances to the president, and start a new one.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. With that, great day today, as always. You know, I want to start. We just had our retreat where we talk about, things that have taken place over the past year, and one of the things we were looking at is making sure we always review our mission statement when we are making decisions. And it was interesting. As the NYSOD award winners were talked about by Amy, who gave a great little snippet of just some of the things that each of those did, I went back and looked at the mission statement, and it's kind of fascinating, and maybe it tells us the good news story that the mission statement is front and center of decision-making. Because if you heard some of the things she said, you can pick out every word in the mission statement, and those people are doing that day in and day out. I mean, just range of flexible programs, emphasizing student success, embracing excellence, fostering innovation, enhancing learning. So kudos to all of the award winners. Clearly you guys exemplify the mission that we are all here to serve every day, and the board appreciates all you do to help us meet that mission. So appreciate everything you've done. I always like to pay attention to the news releases that come out from Daytona State. Always some great things happening. I was really excited to see the one about the paraprofessionals in the classroom and the grant program to let them earn a degree from Daytona State College. I mean, what an area where we could use more great people in the classroom. They're already there, and we can give them a way to advance their career. So excited to see that. Great year for sports here at Daytona State College. As Randy probably will say, go Falcons. Some great things happening on the courts and on the competitive field. So I just wanted to mention that. And with that, just want to end that. You guys make the board's job easy here. You have a great president. We have great confidence in him and the things he's done for this university. But every time we tell him that, he defers to everyone across the room and says, it's because of my team. And he's right. It takes a leader and a great team. And the board appreciates all that every one of you do to keep advancing this college. And with that, I will turn it over to Trustee Lloyd.
Wow, ditto. The retreat's a great time to get together and talk about the past year and accomplishments and where we've been. But what I enjoy most about it is it's all about the future. It's all about where we're going as an institution. And I say we because we're arm in arm with you and appreciate everything that you do every single day to bring it to this institution and make it happen. And I am super excited about, again, talking about the future next month. And it's not our Board of Trustees meeting, but it's the graduation ceremonies. It's, it's really where the rubber meets the road. It's like you get to see the fruits of all the labor, all the effort, all of the hours and devotion to making this an excellent institution, not just great, excellent. And see those students walk across that stage. It's a great, great, great moment. And so looking forward to that, and go Falcons.
Randy.
I'll lead with go Falcons. So, I was telling that at the retreat, and I think like Bob, it's a great place where we take stock in if we accomplished the mission, if you will, year over year. And then set a new strategy and a new plan and a new, a new direction forward. It's always challenging. There's never a time when it's boring. And I was in another life that I've got going on. I was asked a question about what, with all the different things that I've done in the community, what's the greatest accomplishment? And I quite frankly, that's a tough one. I don't know that I look at accomplishment as much as I look at the value of the work. But don't ever think, as those of you who give reports to us in these board meetings, that we don't listen, because it's really valuable. You guys are so well prepared. And I would count, in brief, These guys around the table have already heard this. This is probably among all the other organizations and other things that I've had the pleasure and privilege to serve on, without a doubt, this is one of the best experiences for me. It is truly the definition of teamwork. Great leadership, takes responsibility, gives the team the latitude to go do the job. And I feel like every time we have one of these meetings, we are either the Final Four champion or the Super Bowl champion, or you can call it the World Series champion. I'm a baseballer, or the Daytona 500 champion. So thank you very much. Go Falcons.
After that, Randy, I don't know where to begin, you know, between you.
That was the intent. I was trying to
get between you, Bob, and Randy. You know, it's difficult to say something. But in all honesty, it's always been my great expectation and my great belief and strong desire to be here on a Thursday afternoon for a board meeting. It's almost 13 years. And this is the best it has been. And my colleagues and I both turn to you, Dr. Labasso, and say to you, you're doing an outstanding job with your staff and what you present to us. And I'm humbled to look at and see the expression from your staff when they give something to us. And it's just, I can't explain it, but it's just a wonderful feeling to be here with all your people and to see where this college is heading. You've done everything. You just have to watch your back that they're not trying to throw some knives at us or whatever, and just keep going in the direction that you're going. And it's because of you and your staff. So thank you so much for what you do. You've made our job so much easier. Thanks.
And Lloyd, since you signed up for a 25-year term, you only have 12 more to go.
Yeah.
What?
You have 12 more to go.
Oh, yeah, right.
First off, hats off to all of the award winners today. Just getting to listen about your day-to-day and what all the positive influence you have on the college is just remarkable. So congratulations. As I got to prepare for the board retreat today and then got to sit there, and like Bob said, just really focus on the future, it occurs to me that the only way we get to do that, to really sit and be strategic and think about the future, is because of the work before us. And because of everyone in this room and what they're doing at the present, you guys are so good that we don't have to worry about that. We just get to focus on where we're headed. And that's really a gift to the board. So thank you for allowing us that. That doesn't happen everywhere. So we appreciate it. Today was a wonderful day. Thank you all for the updates and for the discussion. To my fellow board members, I'm still the rookie, but it's been long enough now that I just think the discussion and the collaboration is just, it's delightful. It's really delightful. And we all have a say and we all kind of on the same page, and it's just a pleasure. So with that, Tom, you know what I think about your leadership. It's top notch and we're lucky to have you. So that's all.
Gary?
I know many call you Dr. Labasso, but to us, you're still Tom. Even got it on the nameplate.
That's right.
And thank you for your leadership. As many have said around this table here and at our board retreat, it's proud. You're very proud to be on this board. And it's day in and day out. It doesn't matter what's going on, whether it's a pandemic or anything a little less. your leadership shines, and we appreciate you. With that, I'm going to turn to your wonderful team now. And I'm looking at Marty, and I'm thinking, I remember when Ice was leaving, and I was thinking, gee whiz. You know, I'd only known Ice since 2014 when I came on this board. And I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary next month. Or actually, no, it's this month. Yeah, I think it's this month now. And I first met Lloyd, was chair. I believe her was a Marianne at that point.
It was transitioning from Marianne to you.
And I think about how wonderful Ice was, and she used to always say what a great team she had, and sure enough, she did. And one of those people on her team became the next leader, and Marty, you're just keeping the train rolling. No significant findings in an audit. This many six consecutive years is remarkable. And being in the field that I am of banking, I know what that takes. So congratulations. Congratulations to the NISOD, NISOD award winners, all of you. Awesome, awesome work. And Dr. Locklear, Amy. I think about these course revisions, and you get up there and present these things to us, and you do those in a very concise fashion in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes, and we in a very concise fashion approve them. But then I really start to think about all the work that has to go in behind the scenes, that has to be hours and hours, if not days, of looking and evaluating and continually improving our school, our college, and identifying what courses need to, you know, hit the garbage can and which courses need to be brought in because of what our customers need. And our customers are our students as well as the business community. And that's remarkable when you really start to think about it. So thank you and your team for doing everything. I know that. So. And in closing, go Falcons.
Great. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a great day. We'll see you again May 15th for graduation.